Hey everyone, April Babb with our 31 days to decluttering the voice of condemnation, discerning the voice of the enemy, and doing something about it. So we are on day number 10, and I am really excited about the content today. I think that if we can get this and understand it, it will help us a lot to walk in victory. So we'll jump right in. Day 10, we're going to be talking about how the enemy uses intrusive verbiage. He uses intrusive verbiage and intrusive thoughts. Looked up the word intrusive here, and here is what Webster tells us. The word intrusive means that there is a violation of a person's space and privacy. It tells us that there is a causing of a disruption or an annoyance through being unwelcome or uninvited. It also tells us that intrusive means projecting inwardly. So that's like a picture of pressure being forced inward. You think of maybe a ship at sea or something where the winds are blowing in on all sides, or a house in the middle of a tornado. That is an intrusive type of element coming to destroy that structure. So this is the word that we're talking about here. And also intrusive thoughts, look that one up as well. And this is what it means: unwanted, unexpected, unpleasant thoughts or images that pop in my head without warning. Now, I've got to read that again, because that is exactly how the enemy works so often. So intrusive thoughts are unwanted. So it's not a thought that you want. Unexpected. He knows how to come in a time and in a manner when you're not expecting it. Unpleasant thoughts. The enemy does not speak to you pleasant thoughts. He speaks unpleasant thoughts or images. You'll be driving through traffic, and all of a sudden this image pops into your head that it is not your creation. It is filthy. It is dirty. It is full of doubt. It is full of whatever. And so this is an intrusive thought, and it says it pops in your head without warning. Pops in your head without warning. I think that this is absolutely a description of the enemy, especially here where it says that intrusive means to violate someone's personal space or privacy. The enemy is not at all interested or concerned, rather, about us opening up and welcoming him in. He is going to be there whether we invite him or not. Now, God does not work like that. God goes where he is welcomed, invited, and a space is made for him. But the enemy is going to violate you if you will let him. And the way he violates us is through this intrusive verbiage. I've got on here that you'll hear things that are demands. So you will hear in your head demanding verbiage such as, you've got to do this now, 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 now. You've got to say it now. You've got to send the email now. You've got to make the call now. You have to order that right this minute. You have to, whatever it is. You'll hear the word must. You must do this. Must right now. If you don't, you know, what will happen? So there's what ifs. There's what if verbiage underneath this intrusive thought characteristic of the enemy. What if? What if you don't? And I find that it takes away all the semblance of considering God. When there's an intrusive thought in my head where I feel like I have to act right this minute or the world will explode, in that moment, I completely have forgotten about the factor called God. Hallelujah. So we must be careful. Doubt is another part of intrusive verbiage. You find obsessive things. So when I know years ago when I struggled and lived in an OCD mentality, I struggled with obsessive thoughts that if my tablecloth wasn't hanging properly, that I lost my peace. That is an intrusive thought that is obsessive. So if you have an obsessive thought that comes to you, that is what I'm talking about today. Also, another thing described with these definitions is impulses. So your emotions are awakened and elicited concerning something, and you have an impulse that you have to do something now. Now, I will say this. With God, when God speaks, we need to do it right then. We need to take it seriously. We need to make it an urgent matter in our lives when God speaks. But God doesn't speak in an urgent way. Let me break it down. God could be telling one of his children in the Bible, one of the children of Israel, to do something. Okay, Joshua, you're going to gather the people. You're going to circumcise them. You're going to prepare them for battle. Y'all are going to gather the priest. You're going to march around this place for 6 days silently. On the seventh day, you're going to march. You're going to blow the horns. The walls are going to fall down. But even when God speaks and tells us to do these things that are very pressing, he's not going, do it now, do it now. You must, if you don't. He doesn't use intrusive verbiage, even though the things he is saying is so very important, right? The things he is saying are so very important. So I don't want us to become over in the other ditch where we never move quickly, where we never sense urgency. Because when the Lord speaks, even though the Holy Spirit will speak softly, and he may say, and I've had this before, and it really breaks my heart. I've had the Holy Spirit tell me something tenderly and softly, and I didn't do it right then, and calamity came. And I'm talking big time calamity. I won't even share that right now, but we need to put an urgency to the still, quiet voice of the Holy Spirit's correction. And when the enemy is screaming and yelling, now you must, don't miss out. What if, doubt, demanding, obsessive impulses, we need to shh. So the enemy speaks with intrusive verbiage. We need to be aware of it. That's not just you. I think that there is a big danger and a condemnation that will come to us if we say, okay, the enemy's not my problem, I'm my problem. And yes, we are hard-headed sheep, but there is a wolf. And that wolf is our enemy. And we are not our enemy. Praise God. The flesh is one of our enemies. The sin nature is one of our enemies. Lies are one of our enemies, but Satan himself and his demons are another one of our enemies. So, and I have this burning in my heart. We've got to learn about our common enemies. We have various enemies and we fight each of them in different ways. Hallelujah. So during this study, we are learning to fight against the lies that the enemy sends, the words that he sends. We are discerning that. Psalm 94, 18 and 19 says this. You already know my thoughts, Lord. I'm inserting that so you know who we're speaking to. So help me stop hiding them from you. They already feel less heavy by voicing these burdens to you. Beautiful verse, Psalm 94, verse 18 and 19.
Just think that that is so beautiful as the solution to this problem, right? We see that there's a problem that the enemy sends intrusive verbiage repeatedly. But that the solution is to bring all of those thoughts before the Lord. Hallelujah. And we must recognize them to do that. So what I'm teaching and what the Holy Spirit's teaching me is that I've got to recognize when this the enemy speaking. And this is gross, and I'll probably say it again in the study because I think it's a great visual. When something that is foreign and harmful enters into my nose, you might already be grossed out, right? My body has a beautiful mechanism that God created where it immediately, suddenly, violently expels that item. As quick as it comes, it goes. It's called a sneeze. And I think that we need to learn to have mental sneezes, that when the enemy sends intrusive verbiage, intrusive thoughts, now, what if, doubt, do it now, that we need to immediately and violently get rid of that thought and, you know, catch it quickly and say, no. Cool. And if he's trying to get you to speed up, slow down. Hallelujah. If he's trying to get you to freak out, have peace. Be still and know that he is God. So that is our characteristic we're learning today. I will also encourage you with this verse, Romans 12 and 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So if we begin to look at these thoughts as evil instead of harmless, oh, she's just always that way. Oh, he's that way. You know, they're an anxious person. Oh, they're a good person. They just, you know, they're just anxious. If that person and us as their friends and family would start saying, you know what, these thoughts are evil and it's not my friend's thoughts. It's the thoughts planted there by the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy. And we need to address this. We need to address this. We have Christians sitting the pews week after week that are being beat up by the enemy from the inside out and don't even know it. They don't even know it. And we can preach to them more about read your Bible more. We can preach to them more about, you know, deny your flesh more. And absolutely, these are important because our flesh is the partner to the enemy. Our flesh is the door that gives the enemy more access. But remember, you need to know this and be encouraged. You are not your enemy. If I think that I'm the problem, I'm going to walk in self-defeat. I'm never going to be able to break the patterns. I'm going to think, well, I'm just a bad person. This is who I am. I've got to try to do better. But if I realize that I'm a sheep of God and there's a wolf and he's trying to put on sheep's clothing and pretend that he's harmless, look at this. Look at this. Isn't that beautiful? All the colors representing all the people. And we are a sheep. And so, yes, we're stubborn.
You'll have to go, those podcast listeners of you, to the YouTube or to the Facebook and see actually what was I holding up and showing you guys there at that part of the video right at the 11-minute mark.
And yes, we mess up. And yes, we do all kinds of crazy things. Yes, 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 yes. But we are not our own enemy. Hallelujah. There is an actual enemy that we need to be aware of. So do not be overcome by evil, those evil thoughts, but overcome evil with good. And that good being the word of God. We've got to meditate on the word. And the word does not have us in a place of panic. Jesus did not even panic when Lazarus died. I do not believe Jesus panicked when his love, his cousin, John, passed away in a brutal manner. I believe Jesus was sad. I believe Jesus mourned. But panic and anxiety, well, those have no place in the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace lives in us. And he can rule in a jurisdiction called peace. And so if we will stay at peace, he can rule in our lives. Let me pray first. I'll get too quick. So we're going to pray to close out this part, and then we're going to get into our spring cleaning / decluttering tip of the day. So here we go. Father, I worship you and I praise you through your son's blood. It is by his blood alone that we have access. We do not take that for granted. We do not take that lightly. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that through your Holy Spirit and your word, we will learn to discern. We will be able to sense that something is not right when thoughts begin to bombard us, when thoughts begin to become intrusive and make us want to act with panic and anxiety, fear, worry, dread, doubt, any of these things in mind, Lord, shift us back to the truth that you will keep us in perfect peace if our mind is stayed on you because we love you. Isaiah 26:3, maybe. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So here is your spring cleaning / decluttering tip of the day. If you feel like your house is an intrusive thought, like you're looking around and it's like it feels like it's closing in on you, the pressure is coming from all sides, all rooms, all directions. Where do I start? I can't do this. I want you to take a deep breath and pick a room. Make your world smaller. Make your world smaller. Pick a room and shut all the other doors. They do not exist right now. And allow yourself to, maybe for the first time in your life, to enjoy cleaning, decluttering, spring cleaning, organizing. The fact that you have something to declutter and clean is a blessing because there are people that have nothing. Put your praise music on. Put your worship music on. Plan a day. Stay in your PJs all day. Order a pizza to be delivered for lunch. And get in that room and let it be a purging, not just of the physical, but as you're in there cleaning, picture your mind being cleansed of all the chaos, all the many words, the bombarding words, as you're getting rid of items, you're also praying. Maybe you're praying in the spirit as you clean. Let me tell you one thing, and I'm going to let you go. One of the most miraculous times in my life, and I didn't know it at the time, I was actually sanding a piece of furniture to remake it. And it took me about 4.5 hours of sanding with my electric sander out on the back porch. And this has been in June. And I sanded that piece and I prayed in tongues the whole time. And I was just led to do that. And I was thinking about a certain person and I was praying for them in my mind with English words. I was asking God to give them a personal revival. And I'm praying in the spirit and I'm for 4.5 hours. And something that should have been very difficult, it just flew by. And the miracle is that that very night, as a matter of fact, about 5 minutes after I got finished with that piece, it was about 10:30 at night, that person's life was spared. So you can be praying the most powerful prayer of your life while you are decluttering. Look at it that way, guys. See y'all tomorrow.